And welcome back to the Expressway for another unexciting week. This week, Giants, Jets, every New York team has lost. The Yankees are getting crushed in the World Series. The Knicks are so-so. They're supposed to be the top of the NBA heap, and they're off to a rough start. So if you're a New York fan, you are in the doldrums, and I don't know what you call a Jets fan who has sat through another woeful year and there is no help on the horizon. We will get into that and more about how Aaron Rodgers' season is probably over. I think the Jets still have a little hope just because there is so much parity in the NFL and no team is really running away with anything outside of the Kansas City Chiefs and the Detroit Lions, who put up 52 on this past week. So Detroit might be fighting Washington, the two surprise team. Well, one surprise team, and Detroit is trying to compete with the Philadelphia Eagles as one of the top teams in the NFL. But let's talk some Giants. You know, I know.
We all know
that. They didn't have a chance to win, but they sucked you in because they held their own for a half, and they thought and they made you think that they had a chance to win, and they just couldn't maintain some consistent effort. Penalties killed them. But BT, what is your impressions of this game?
Well, see, it's really weird because I don't know what to think, because you know certain things are pretty good and some things are not. Danny Jones, I can't blame it all on him, but at different times, he doesn't do what he's supposed to do. You got to get rid of the ball when you're playing against a great pass rusher. I thought Tyrone Tracy played very good, 145 yards, second straight 100-yard game. I think that Malik Nabers missed a couple key receptions. Slayton, I don't know what to think about him, because sometimes he looks good, sometimes he looks okay. There's no consistency on the Giants' offense, so I think it makes it kind of bad. But then, is that Brian Daboll's fault? And then, you know, is this the best that Danny Jones can do?
Yeah, I think that the jury is still out on that. I do believe that they have to draft a quarterback if one is available, or try to find something in free agency, at least a respectable backup. If you can't find a top-tier quarterback via draft or trade. But when you look at what they did and the way Daniel Jones tried to manage the team through four quarters, he didn't do such a bad job. I do think some of the penalties, though, after the first four on the offense, whether it's a legal formation, a legal shift, a legal motion, some of that has to be on the quarterback. I think Daniel Jones has so much, especially since there is so much pressure on him to do well, that he's not focused on the little things like a more veteran quarterback would be. I still remember we had Dave Brown, and he would probably stop a play if he saw another two receivers or a running back and a receiver in motion. He would just stop the play before he moved on. And so some of that stuff you have to see if you're on top of your game. So they had about nine penalties in one series that really cost them the game. And so when that happens, especially for a team like the Giants that can't make any mistakes to have a chance to win, especially against a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers, it's upsetting.
And see, the thing about it, I don't know who to blame on those penalties, because the quarterback is the one who gets the play and then recites it to his teammates and then looks at the clock to see if he has time to do anything else. So when they're playing on the road, I have to blame the quarterback, because he's the one that has got to get them in and out of quicker. And so Danny Jones, in his sixth year, is not doing some of the stuff that he should have been doing in his second and third year. Look at all the good young quarterbacks. There's so many in the NFL that are doing better than him. And I think getting the snap off on time is something that you know, you should be at least aware of.
And I totally agree. But when you look at the stats, all of the stats show they were in this game. We thought in the, you know, last week that Pittsburgh, there was no way New York had a chance to be on the same field with Pittsburgh and even be competitive. I said that it would be a ratings loss for ABC and ESPN for even having this game on, since the Giants from past experiences hadn't played well on Monday Night Football, let alone play well this season against its top echelon teams. And so they impressed me. I am kind of concerned about our defense. You look at what they've done on defense the last few games, they've given up a lot of yards on the run. If you look at the rushing first downs and rushing yards and total plays, they gave up 426 total yards. And so when you look at the rushing yards, it's darn near close to over 100 yards.
But when people talk about the Giants' defense, they talk about how people can run the ball against them. They say it's hard to pass against them because they got three or four good pass rushers. My problem is that if you can run the ball, then you're out physically in the other team. The thing that I look at, Charles, is that at the line of scrimmage, the defense sometimes of the Giants does a pretty good job rushing the passer, but they don't do a good job stopping the run. I think all season long, and a lot of the losses, a lot of the mistakes, I guess, are coming through the physical part of running the ball. I've always thought if you run the ball, you're taking the heart from somebody because you're running it down their throat. And I thought Pittsburgh did a pretty good job of doing that, even though Russell Wilson is playing better and is giving them a chance. My problem is that Pittsburgh's got a tough schedule, and I don't think they can keep this up.
Yeah, and just to go back, 167 yards rushing the ball. You can't win a game when you're giving up almost 200 yards a game, especially when you're trying to get teams off the field and give your offense a chance. The Giant offense was moving the ball.
Yep.
They were moving the football down the field. If it wasn't for the 11 penalties, I think you would see a different outcome in this game. They had Pittsburgh on the ropes. I think when Pittsburgh knew they had to pass and the Giants couldn't help out their tackles and chip as much as they wanted to do, that's where you saw the sacks being let up. They gave up 4 sacks in the second half.
Well, I didn't think they helped their offensive line at all. Arthur Thomas being out with a bad foot hurt the Giants tremendously. I think at least one person per play made a mistake giving up something. The whole line really has to take accountability because they didn't play as well. Pittsburgh does have a good defense. They got one of the best pass rushers in the game, and I don't think the Giants accounted for that. And I think you have to, because you can't concede that your left tackle, who is starting for the first time off the practice squad from the San Francisco 49ers, is going to hold up against an all-pro defensive lineman, and that's exactly what we saw.
Yeah, and it shows out. When you look at the offensive individual stats, I love what Tyrone Tracy is doing on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, Devin Singletary is now probably second string behind what Tyrone Tracy. And you said that even though Darius Slayton had over 100 yards in a passing game, I still don't think he is the guy because he does drop too many passes. Critical passes at that. And then Malik Nabers, as good of a talent he is starting to drop, and concern me, he's starting to drop some easy passes that he needs to catch.
I think he's getting beat up, Charles. I look at the course of a game and the defensive backs, they're not giving him a lot of room, so when he does get open and after the catch, he's taking a pretty good hit. And I think he's getting beat up. And so I hope that, because he's not a big guy and he don't have big arms. And so I think that, you know, he's got to be able to take care of himself and learn how to do that. Theo Johnson, the tight end, the guy I said from Penn State, the rookie, seventh-round draft choice, I think it was, or fifth-round, he played well. He caught the ball, ran good after the catch, and showed that the Giants got to use him in the future because he's good for going down the middle and keeping everything off of Malik Nabers. My problem on Slayton is that he sometimes... I think he takes plays off. You know, he doesn't always run the best route, and sometimes he's not consistent. The thing about it, he's got an opportunity because of them doubling up on Malik Nabers, and it allows Slayton to come across and make some big plays, and that's what happened yesterday. You would think with these statistics of the New York Giants that they would have won this game.
Yeah, it looks like they should have won, but when you look at the penalties, I think the penalties is a determining factor. The penalties and drop passes. You had Darius Slayton dropping a few critical passes. You had Malik Nabers drop a critical pass. And then something that we're not talking about, which is also critical that Pittsburgh did and Giants didn't do, is throw the deep pass. And, you know, Russell Wilson, that's one thing he could do. He knows how to throw and put the touch on a deep pass, and I think that's the major difference why he's playing over Justin Fields is because he can throw the deep pass and create that enough touch that gives the receiver a chance to catch those balls, and that's what we don't have in Daniel Jones.
Well, he did a nice one to Slayton down the middle of the field. It was pretty nice, and so I think they're trying, and I do believe that Brian Daboll does call those plays, but Danny Jones doesn't execute. And I think that they showed one play during the course of the game where I think he had Slayton on the sideline, and it was like he beat the corner real quick. The safety had to come over. But Danny Jones took too long to throw the ball. And what you have to do is predetermine a lot of times from a quarterback position if the receiver, if you can get the ball out quicker to the receiver to give him room. The ball was overthrown. Slayton had to go back and get it. They had to go up and get it. And then the defensive back ended up knocking out of his hand. Danny Jones is inaccurate at times, and that hurts the receiver because you don't get yards after the catch. If he throws it right in between the safety and the corner, he gives Slayton a chance to run and put a move on the safety and, if possible, take it to the house. So I have to blame Danny Jones for being inaccurate in that situation.
Yeah, I agree with you as well. Let's turn our attention to the defense because their run defense has been so porous that they're going to probably end up one of the worst rushing defenses in the league if they don't do something to curtail these issues. And we've talked about this for the past couple of weeks now, that if they can't control another team's running game, they won't ever win a game for the rest of the season because that's what teams are starting to do now.
Well, what I was going to ask you about is that I just found out, well, I found out a long time ago, Brian Burns, who they brought over from Carolina, gave up a lot. One of the highest paid defensive players on the Giants. They say he's making over $28 million. I haven't verified that, but I'm pretty sure. In the game the other day, I didn't even know he was there. And if you're going to make that kind of situation, you're going to have to show people why you're there. And he hasn't done that. They don't do good against the run, as you say. They're giving up big chunks. They're supposed to be good against the pass, but teams take what you give them. And I think the whole defense needs to step up. And Brian Burns may be underachieving. Don't know, but his name is not being called on making tackles. Because you hear Bobby Okereke, you hear him a lot in there. Even the defensive backs like Drew Phillips and Jason Pinnock and different people, they're making the tackles. Anytime the defensive back or safety is your leading tackler, that's not good at all.
Yeah, I think the one thing that surprised me, you're hearing a lot about Ogilary. He had 7 total tackles.
Yep.
You look at the stats, three solos, 2 sacks, 2 tackles for loss. He's very active, and that was a guy that was a question mark. That was a guy that was actually, if you listen to some media reports, they were trying to ship out of Dodge because they didn't think he had a place on this team. And now that Kayvon Thibodeau is hurt and he's had to step up, he stepped up. The one guy that I'm starting to worry about a little bit, and maybe it's too much pressure on him, is our guy Deontay Banks. I know he's trying to cover the top receiver on the opposing team, but you don't hear a lot, you know, from him. And when you do, he's giving up a big play.
Well, do you think this is a kind of a sophomore jinx year? Because sometimes they say your second year is either good or bad. And so we have to see, because that's supposed to be the Giants' strong point, is their defensive backs, their young, aggressive defensive backs. And a lot of times, I think the game could have been out of hand yesterday if Pittsburgh didn't have some touchdowns being called back. So I don't know how to think of that. But, you know, their defensive backs, there's too many games left. The Giants are 2-6. That means there's 9 games left in the season. Coming up on the halfway point, somebody is going to have to step up. Otherwise, it's going to be a tough season.
Yeah, and you know, we were talking about a whole bunch of different players. We were trying to figure out which DB was going to step up. One of our stock up and the stock down features will be Drew Phillips, and where does he fit it, and how does he fit into the future of the Giants? And as a safety, how do you look at, is he a centerpiece, which I think he could potentially be a centerpiece to this defense. I think you look at Jason Pinnock, that's the same thing. Brian Burns is a question mark. Micah McFadden is a question mark. Tyler Newbin is somebody that has stepped up. But we haven't talked about the D-line. What about our outside linebackers? Is Brian Burns truly the problem? But let's go to stock up and stock down and get your opinion on some of those guys. Obviously, we start out with the first guy, Daniel Jones. What do you say about his stock this week?
That's a hard one because I thought that he was inaccurate on some of his throws. I think he held the ball too long a few times, and I think that he messed up the clock in too many situations. So I'm going to say stock down. Quarterback is supposed to be your main guy. He's the leading moneymaker, which should not be a factor, but he's not bringing everybody up to a higher level of performance, so I'm going to say stock down on Danny Jones.
Yeah, I agree. I think stock is still down, but I think it's not as down as the week before. He did do a lot better job, so it's trending up, but he is still down. Here we go, Tyrone Tracy Jr. I love this guy. He got hurt towards the end. Dude had over 100 yards rushing. There hasn't been a rookie for a long time. I forget what they said, for a long time, to have over 100 yards their first season. I love what he's doing. I love what he brings to the table. And they may have their guy, a cheap guy, too, for the next 4 years.
No, I like him. I like his running style. My only problem is that I think he's kind of fragile. And I don't think he can take much more beating of this time. So that means that Singletary is going to have to do his part when called upon. I like his quickness in the hole. I like his acceleration. I like his vision. And I think he's a big help to the Giants. And I think he helps the offensive line, too. Because anytime you guys, a running back begins to get positive yardage, the offensive line gets fired up because they like to be physical. So this is a positive for the Giants. Definitely stock up for Tyrone Tracy.
Stock way up on Tyrone Tracy. Here we go. Drew Phillips. We haven't talked about him in a long time. One of those young safeties back there that is adding a whole bunch of depth to the DB core over there. And his name is being brought up a lot. Very active. So I think his stock is way up.
No, I agree with you. And I think he's aggressive and he's playing well and he's playing smart football. Question I have for you, is Deontay Banks or was it Drew Phillips who they said was not playing hard?
I would believe Deontay Banks.
Okay, because they said they had to talk to him about not playing hard. And even in the game, I'm not saying he played bad in the game against Pittsburgh, but one of the running backs jumped over his head for a tackle. But, you know, you can't have people that not give full effort because it shows on film.
Yeah, so our next guy is Shane Bowen, defensive coordinator. Obviously, we talked about this in our last segment. We got to do something about the rush defense because whatever they're doing, it isn't working. They're probably darn near close to the bottom 10 in rush defense, given how many yards they're giving up per week. What do you think some of the changes he has to make or in his schemes to kind of help deter that?
I think he's geared towards stopping the pass. And I think everybody in the league, because of the passing element of the NFL, is doing that. It's almost secondary because they're stopping the run. So he's got to put more emphasis on stopping the run, because if you stop the run, you force somebody to be one-dimensional. And if the Giants could do that from a defensive standpoint, it's going to help everybody. But then again, it's a team game. The offense has got to do its part by keeping the defense off the field. But I still think that, you know, they still have potential because they got good athletes inside and outside. So I look for see what happens this coming week, the changes that he makes to be able to stop the run, because they have to be able to do that. Otherwise, it's going to hurt them all season long.
I agree. Right now, stock is down. The DBs, too, were a little suspect. They had a couple of times in which Pittsburgh converted a lot of two third downs in particular that they could have gotten off the field. And it was just because DB couldn't make the play. They were right there in position to make a play, and they just couldn't make the play on the defense. You can't blame Shane Bowen on that. You got to blame the DB, because that's talent, not scheme.
Well, the thing about it is that your job as a defensive coordinator is to coordinate everybody for the right positions. I think Brian Daboll is being, he might be too much into calling the plays. and not looking at the rest of the team. What I did notice, though, Charles, is he went back to screaming again on the sideline. And I think, you know, coaches got to be careful of that. I know they do it all the time, but, you know, you can't do it all the time. And when he does it, it looks worse. So it makes things probably look even worse than they really are.
Yeah. I mean, for three quarters, I think Coach Daboll called a really good game. I think fourth quarter was one of his roughest quarters of the game. And I think just because he was frustrated, all the penalties that had taken place a couple of series before the quarter change kind of hurt them a whole lot. And so when you look at stock up for stock down for Coach Daboll, I still think it's down. I don't know. I mean, I think it's trending up, but I think it's still down.
And one question I have for you, you went for two when I definitely didn't think you should, because if you score, you have a chance to tie the game. Next time he scores, you have to get 8 points to be able to tie the game instead of the normal seven. So that's one of the mistakes I think he made. I didn't like the call at all. So I'm going to say stock down for Brian Daboll. Anytime you don't get 20 points in the game, last week they didn't get many points, the week before. Haven't put points on the board. You got to score in the NFL if you want to win.
I agree with you. I didn't agree with the going for two, especially given the giant offensive woes and scoring in the red zone. They've had a difficult time scoring in the red zone, especially touchdowns in the red zone. I thought that was a bad decision. You're listening to The Expressway with the BT Express, Billy Taylor, and Charles Show Me the Way. Today on The Expressway, we will have another guest. We talked to O.J. Anderson, and so he will be our guest after the break. I want you to enjoy his aspects of the running back position and where we see it in the near future. We'll be right back in a minute. We got a special guest, one of the OGs of the New York G-Men. And
y'all can get a station, get a podcast.
Hey, we take it over. Alumni Media Network, you know that. We try to hang out with you and LT.
That's
in your podcast.
We love to have you guys come to it.
We got to publicize that. They got Otis and LT have their own station on Alumni Media Network. So check it out. When is it?
Right now, it's whenever we can get it. Get you with that crazy boy. Stephen and Bart and I, we're starting to try to really put a podcast together.
That's good. Okay, good.
But we had it. Three old guys. That's what it was. Three old guys. That's what we were called. Three old guys. Yeah.
Yeah, but you lost a lot of weight, man. You got to feel great now. You really do. And then without you even telling me, next is your golf game is maybe good enough to go in the pro ranks in the senior tour. I said, come on, babe, man. He said, yeah, they only pay you $500,000 a year, so it may not be enough for you.
Yeah, well, you know, big is senior. He just turned 60. Lunacy starts quickly at that age. If you think I'm ready for any kind of tour other than just playing against him, then end up being big, make everybody think he's good, you know. But no, man, I'm nowhere near that. I just enjoy the game. I enjoy the challenge that the game
is. It is a challenge. It is.
It's one of the games that, as an athlete, you fight yourself with, because it seems like you need no athletic talent to play that. It's just the ball is on the ground and you hit it. And it's like something we always have done, used our motor skills all our life, eye-hand coordination. And you see that with that. I mean, you put a paddle in our hand and we can play tennis and paddle ball. I refuse to play that stupid game called pickleball. But yet, you know, it's eye-hand coordination. So now you put a roller stick in my hand and you tell me that this ball, little white ball, is going to sit there and I'm going to knock it down there. And it makes sense. But it makes sense, but to execute it is a whole other challenge.
So Giants celebrating 100 years. Mm-hmm. You were in the top 100. Mm-hmm. How was that getting back to some of the guys? Were you surprised by who made it and didn't make it?
I'm always surprised when you bring it. People start selecting who's good and who's not good. It's just like I'm surprised about the Hall of Fame. I'm going to continue to be surprised about how the selection committee works and how they go. So it's the same way. You know, you can always be some players that you look at. You think as a player should be there, maybe even those who aren't there. But it's all justified because everybody that came through Giant, you two guys, which came through Giant history as one of the all-time best. And, you know, and there you go. That's the statement you just said. So I just like to know how they go about selecting, you know, in some aspect. But I feel honored. And the reason why, because I started my career at St. Louis for 7 years. I was in St. Louis. And then I came for the Jazz for 7 years. So I kind of had two careers. And to be put in the Ring of Honor for the Giants and then to be selected in the top 100 of the Giants, I am, like, blown away because all of my stats and the goodness that I did other than the Super Bowl, but my first career just being inducted into what football is all about was in St. Louis. Where I was a Rick of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year, two-time Pro Bowl. All that came in my first 7 years. So you would think that if any accolades that was going to be to me would have been through the Cardinals. Nothing.
Absolutely. They don't recognize.
But you walk through their office and you walk through their hallway, all of them picture me everywhere. I'm still up there.
Really?
Yeah, so it's weird.
Well, we're talking to the great running back, O.J. Anderson, formerly of the St. Louis Cardinals, New York Giants MVP in the Super Bowl. Really has had a great life, and he's playing golf with us here at the Montclair Country Club. And you know what I wanted to ask you, though, too, is when you look back on your career, and when I first noticed you for St. Louis, and I was playing with the Giants at the time, you had a heck of a game against the Cowboys, and I was an anti-Cowboy fan, so that's when I became a fan of Otis Anderson. You never disliked the Cowboys, or you just didn't care? Why did you dislike them?
Because they deemed themselves American team. How you just give yourself a name, right? The country didn't name y'all American team. Y'all did. Y'all had them a star, and all of a sudden, you guys deem yourself American team. That's like naming yourself. Give yourself a nickname. You can't give yourself a nickname in football or baseball. People got to give you that. Yep. They did. They just said, hey, man, we're American team.
So my question for you, talking about back then when you played and now, what are the major differences? Do you think, like, there are obviously the physicality of the game is a little bit different, a lot safer. But what are some of the other major differences? What about the rivalry? Has that gone a little bit?
I think they're there, but not like the intensity as it was when we came along. When you say changes in the game, it's easy to tell. One of the most incredible things that I noticed about the game is what they call non-contact injury. What the hell is non-contact injury? When you can just run up and down the field and pop a little Achilles or pop a knee out of place, and you know, listen. There are more injuries now and concussions now than it was when we played the game and we had hitting all the time.
All in practice.
And if somebody said to me, well, you had a concussion, you didn't know it. No, you know if you had been ding or whatever. But what I'm saying is, it's just so ironic that when you look around the league and you see the way these guys fall and hit the turf, go back and look at where we hit the turf and fall. We got right back up, went back to the hole. You know why? Because we built a tolerance that came
through
from contact. Right. It's not a contact sport that is out there, yet you don't have to develop a tolerance for it. I tell you what, you go box and don't spar. Go box first time you get hit in the head. That's what's going to happen. It's as simple as that. Every sport that requires contact, you have to develop a tolerance. Karate. They teach you how to break boards, right? First time you go try to break board and you ain't trying to, and haven't developed tolerance in your arm or whatever they build in your hands to break that wood, you try to break it without that shoe, you break the hand. So you have to develop a tolerance.
Yep.
And the NFL, by making the game quote unquote safer for these up and coming players, I think it made the game softer. And I think it's showing its ugly head with the many concussions and all the things that you're seeing with these players. And I just want to add this to it, too. I think for these soft tissue injuries, that's what they call it now, soft tissue, the hamstrings, the Achilles, all that kind of stuff, they're overtraining. These new type of analytics people that told these people, this is the way you have your body structure, back, I can't even say the word, but how you had your body calmed to the point where you was like a goddess. But no, dude. See, my deal is, if you don't give a body a chance to rest, then it's going to find a way to rest itself. And it may come from
injuries,
soft tissue injury or some of that nature. Because I played, and it's just me, when I played my first 7 years, I never had a hamstring problem until I started doing off-season workout program. And that was introduced to me in my seventh year by Gene Stallings, and I pulled my first hamstring during that time period. All the other time, I never had an issue. You know why? Because when the season was over with, for us as Cardinals, always over in November. But we knew that we weren't going anywhere, so from the time the season officially was over, I did nothing football related until May. And that's because we had minicamp, and I would do something to just go to minicamp, just past minicamp, and then I would not do anything football related until after July 4th. Because you had 3 weeks to get ready to go to camp. And that's what we did. And that's why we didn't have a lot of guys injured. I mean, you know, but
speaking of that, how many plays did you play every game? What was your move? How many plays?
I did 61 plays.
It was probably about 50. Did you do 40 throughout?
Dude, somewhere I was involved with over, if it was 70 plays, 40 about be me.
Yeah. And you never came out after you ran the ball 30, 40 yards.
You know, man.
Welcome back to the Expressway. Love OJ Anderson. He does a great job for us all the time, all that wisdom. Like I was telling him when he came, that's a brother that I read about before I even stepped onto the NFL football field as being one of the greatest running backs. So we appreciate OJ coming on the show and joining us. Now, back to the depressing New York sports scene, and let's talk about the Jets and how this has become the Leaning Tower of Pisa, and they are just waiting for someone to knock them down. What is going on with the Jets?
What's really deep is I heard today, Charles, they say that Aaron Rodgers' career is over. They say he's not the same quarterback. He can't run around. The defensive lineman for the New England Patriots said he's not the same quarterback, and he can't get away from some of the stuff he did. Hasn't thrown a 300-yard passing game in a couple years now. So I don't know. They lost five in a row. So who do we blame?
Yeah, and I told you that before that he didn't look. He's looking like he's 50, more like 50 instead of 40, because he doesn't move well in the pocket. I said a lot of the plays that he would have made back in his prime, he can't make anymore. And I think that's what's letting the Jets down. I think a lot of it is now. They fired the head coach. They changed the coordinator. Now the only person left to blame is the QB. And I think now the heat is coming down on him. And obviously they won't make a quarterback change because there is nobody behind him. They got to ride or die with Aaron Rodgers, for at least for this year. So it's going to be a tough rest of the year. But you got to say the claim to fame for the Jets this year was their defense, and their defense hasn't been playing well either.
No, the defense has given up a lot of running plays, and a lot of teams are able to run the ball against them. New England's final score was a running the ball on the goal line to get in to beat the Jets. So they've got some problems also. The defense might not be as good as people said it was, and that hurts the offense because the offense is not coming on and putting points on the board. And But the good thing is, again, they got 9 games left to play, and the Jets can go 8-1. They can get to the playoffs.
But it ain't getting any easier because guess who they're playing this weekend on Thursday night? C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans. So
the Texans.
It's not getting either. Before we go into our schedule and our picks and talk about who won last week, even though everybody should always know, you got me again last week. But I want to talk about the Detroit Lions and what they did. Put up 52 points last week. I can't believe it. Are we going to start saying that they are the best team in the NFC, or is it the Eagles, or is it Minnesota because they all have the same record, or is it the Washington Commanders?
I don't think it's the Commanders because they should have lost to Chicago. I do think Detroit is the most powerful team in the NFC. I think they, along with San Francisco, and I'm not putting Minnesota in there yet, it's going to make a powerful division because they put up 47 against the Cowboys, 50-something last week. That's 90-something points in 2 games. Their quarterback is doing a great job. They're running the ball. The defense is mean and nasty. Detroit could go to the Super Bowl, but they probably have to go through San Francisco like they did last year to try to get there.
Yeah, they do have a chance. I think their schedule lends itself for them to actually kind of win more games than the 49ers. They may have home field advantage throughout the playoffs the way they're playing. I don't see them losing too many games. Obviously, that NFC North is a tough division. You got Chicago playing well. You got Minnesota playing well. And Green Bay playing well. So,
yep.
I mean, if anything, they have a tougher road from a divisional standpoint than San Francisco because San Francisco's division with the Rams and Seattle
and Arizona
and Arizona are not comparable to the NFC North.
Not even a question. So it's going to come down to, but see, again, this is the halfway point of the season. This is time to step up things to see if your team can put on a run down the stretch and be able to get home field advantage. I have to put, I really have to put the Lions above everybody because I've been utterly impressed with them. And don't forget about the Eagles. I know you're not an Eagle fan, but they played their best game of the season last week. Our guy Saquon got another 100 yards, and he's up there one of the top 2 rushers in all the NFL at this moment.
Absolutely. But like I said, I think Tyrone Tracy is giving him a run for his money. I think, obviously, we know Saquon is a more physical runner than Tyrone Tracy. But I think what Tyrone Tracy gives to the Giants is what they need this year, and what Saquon is giving to the Eagles is what they need as well. I mean, a lot of talent on that Eagles team.
You said that politically. You said it politically.
So I'm still not catching up. 20-12. I think I picked a couple. I'm still picking with my heart on a couple of these games. I got to start picking with my head so I can come back and beat you. I should have won the Chicago game, but that fool was placating the crowd. What was he doing? I'm like, what are you doing?
On the road, too. On the road.
Man, how many old coaches are rolling over? Dan Reeves rolling over on his grave. Bill Parcells, that man would have had to walk home from Washington. I mean.
Belichick also. Belichick off the bus.
So, I have no idea. But let's go into our Week 9 schedule and let's go through these picks. Obviously, Texans versus the Jets. Man, you know CJ Stroud is my guy. You know I can't pick. I hate picking against them. You know what? I'm not going to pick against them. I'm going with the Texans.
Okay, I'm going with the Jets. DT's going with the Jets. CW's going with the Texans.
Commanders versus the Giants. You know, Giants play well. Can they clean up the penalties? Jaden Daniels isn't as healthy as he was. I think he still has a rib problem. Yep. He can't move around as much.
But he threw that pass.
I know. You know what? I'm gonna take the Giants one last week. Just one more time, even though I'm closing my eyes.
But I'm taking the Steelers last week.
I did take the Steelers last week.
You did.
I'm going to take the Giants this week. They got to win this week.
Okay, I'm going with the Giants also. So we're both going to
the
Giants.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
They got to win. They got to.
Okay.
We need them to win.
Dolphins and the Bills. I know Tua is back. He looked pretty good. I think it just seems like he's like a little China doll back there now. You know. Every time anyone is close to him, is he going to go out the game for the rest of the game? I just don't know if this is the year for them. I'm going with the Bills. They're playing in Buffalo as well.
I'm going with the Bills only because they're playing at home. I don't know. He did give him a streak, and I think that he gave him some momentum, so that could be happening, but I'm going with the Bills.
You got Broncos, Ravens. As much as I cannot say anything good about this quarterback, Lamar Jackson, the Ravens are playing better. But what is up with Jameis Winston? Did he find a fountain of youth?
No, I think he was waiting for his chance because they put automatically put Watson in there and put him on the bench. Now he weighs 6 weeks and he's like a gunslinger. He's ready to go. So but anyway, Broncos and the Ravens, who you got?
I got the Ravens are like that dude, your boy Lamar Jackson, man, what is going on? I'm going to go with the Ravens, but, you know, they are not a consistent team.
Well, since they lost last week, I'm going with the Ravens again because they're not consistent.
So they're going to win this week?
Yeah, they're going to win this week.
All right, Chargers, Browns. Do you think Harbaugh has the answer for Jameis Winston, or was that Jameis Winston just lightning in a bottle and he had a good game? He might be like the Joe Flacco for the Browns this year and actually take over.
He's the last quarterback to throw for 5,000 yards. If it wasn't for Brady taking over Tampa, he would have done a good job there. I'm going with the Browns in this game.
I'm going with the Browns, too. I just don't trust the Chargers, especially after last week's loss.
Okay.
Saints-Panthers, not even a game. I'm going with the Saints.
Saints-Panthers, you're going with the Saints?
Yep.
Okay, you're going with the Saints. Okay, go ahead.
And you're going with the Panthers?
No, I'm going with the Saints. I think the Panthers are the worst team in the NFL.
Raiders, Bengals. I think the Bengals are done. I'm going with the Raiders. AP got to get a win.
I'm going with the Bengals because I still think they got some power. So that's our second game. You're going with the Raiders. I'm going with the Bengals.
Cowboys, Falcons. I know Atlanta has a lot to prove. Had a big game last week. I'm going with the Cowboys, though.
Oh, my goodness, CW. Another one. I'm going with the Falcons.
You're really?
Going with the Cowboys. I'm going with the Falcons.
All right. Patriots, Titans. Patriots had a big win last week.
Yes,
Pepper
they
Johnson,
did.
Pepper Johnson knew what he was talking about, didn't
yes, he
last
did.
Week?
Yes, he did.
I think they're starting to try to learn the Patriot way. I think Jared Mayo is working. He called out his team the week before, too. Which helped.
Yes.
So I'm going to go with the Patriots and see what they can do.
I'm going to go with the Patriots also because I think that might be a stepping stone for them to make some noise.
Bears, Cardinals. Cardinals had a big win last week. They're playing at home. Bears had a tough loss.
Tough.
And I don't know. That seems like a young team to me. I'm going to go with the Cardinals.
I'm going with the Bears. BT's going with the Bears. CW's going with the Cards.
Jaguars, Eagles. I think Jaguars are done. So I'm going with the Eagles.
All right, I'm going with the Eagles also.
Lions, Packers. Good game.
Oh, yes. That's going to be a good game.
I don't think Love is still playing. So yep. I think Willis is still – is it Willis?
Yep.
Still the quarterback for them. I don't think he's ready for the Lions. I'm going with the Lions.
I'm going with the Lions also because they're the most powerful team in the NFC.
I like what the Rams are doing. Rams versus the Seahawks. Seahawks did have a good game last week. I'm going with the Rams though.
Rams, Seahawks. You're going with the Rams?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going with the Rams also.
All right, the Colts and the Vikings. Do you believe this dude? This young quarterback tapped himself out, a quarterback of all positions, tapped himself out of the game because he was tired.
I'm asking you as a former running back for University of Virginia, for high school, for the Giants, have you ever seen a quarterback tap out like that? Ever? Tell the truth. In the history of you.
You never saw Randall Cunningham. You never saw Michael Vick. You name another running quarterback that ran. I'm talking about ran 80 yards and had to get behind center and do it again.
I thought that was a shame. I really did.
Are you kidding me?
I thought that's embarrassing too.
And given that, I think he may have lost the team because of that. I'm going with the Vikings.
And Joe Flacco was coming in the game, so I'm going with the Vikings also.
Buccaneers, Chiefs. As much as I love my boy Baker Mayfield. I think the Chiefs is going. They're going to remain undefeated this week, and I'm going with the Chiefs.
Okay, I'm going with the Chiefs also. So listen, we're only going a couple games this week. I got the Jets. You got the Texans. I got the Falcons. You got the Cowboys. You have the Raiders. I have the Bengals. You have the Cards. I got the Bears, and that's it.
All right. That's
1, 2, 3. Maybe about 5 games.
All right.
But anyway, excellent job. I hope you enjoyed our guest, Otis Anderson. Good job by Charles Wade getting our graphics together. And hopefully the Giants will get back on the winning streak. They play this week against a very tough team, the Washington Commanders. It's going to be a good game. They got to win to get back on it. So, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us. For Charles Wade, I'm Billy Taylor, the Expressway with Charles Wade and Billy Taylor. Have a nice evening. Thanks for joining us.
This is Alumni Media.